Music. It's Thursday night, 8 o'clock, and I'm coming to you live from Atlanta. And I'm the Tree Hugger. You're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. We're off to a start. It's drying up here in the southeast, cooled off quite a bit. I know you folks up in mid-Atlantic, northeast are still trying to dry out up there. Don't worry, it'll change. Weather will change. There's good weather following it up the coast, so hang in there, and you'll be back out on the water soon. So let me go ahead and unmute my friends here on Buzzards Row. We got Dennis Spike from Bodega Bay, California, beach hut, straw hat, barefoot, kayak fishing dude from Cali. What's up, man?
I'm wishing that was the way it is.
You know, I was
talking about that northeast weather, Chip. You know, I talk to a lot of guys year in and year out fishing Susquehanna River. It's a big fishery for kayak smallies.
Yeah.
And it's not looking good up there right now. I think it's going to be more than a few weeks before that river comes back to its banks.
Yeah, I know Juan Verut and John Ost and all the guys there, Susquehanna Fishing. Man, I know that they're hurting up there, and hopefully things will get better.
Seeing reports on the news, people have been up there 28, 30 years, haven't seen anything like it.
Yeah, it rose 10 feet overnight last night. So
the awesome force of Mother Nature.
Yep. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature. Remember those old commercials?
That's for sure. Well, thanks for having me on board tonight. Looking forward to learning something.
Yeah, man, we all do, right? let's see. From the Mid-Atlantic, hopefully he's drying out up there. Mark Wheeler, the landing crew. Hey, sir, how are you?
Doing good. How's everyone doing?
Oh, good, man. It's cooled off here in the south.
We've got the last little bit of our front moving through tonight, and already, got a thunderstorm out in the distance, and I already feel the cool breezes coming off of that. So,
good.
Fingers crossed.
All right. So, and then right behind him is Dino Bowling, our member from Georgia Kayak Fishing, the vice president of Georgia Kayak Fishing, in Paddle for Tomorrow. Hey, Dino, what's going on?
Hey, buddy, what's happening?
Are you ready to go to the coast, man? Coast Fest?
I am so ready. I've been landlocked so long. I think I forgot how to saltwater fish. It's been so long.
I think you got, last week Wheeler said something about Sheepzilla, and you dropped out, man. It's like you fell off the backside of the couch, man.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Called in about the time that
Yeah, so I saw that.
Yeah.
And the man who should be on radio with a voice to match, Mr. Greg Becker. How are you, sir? Big fly reel.
Good evening, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here.
You had your helium treatment today, huh?
Good evening, my friend. How are you?
All right. So how's the weather down in the Apollo Beach area?
Well, every morning I face east, take a big deep breath, and blow real hard. And I face west and take a big deep breath and blow real hard. And so far it's keeping the storms at bay out of Florida. Although, as I said last week, it's kind of ironic that my job sent me to Florida to play with hurricanes out of the northeast. And look what happened.
Right.
Thanks for the mention to all my my former homies up in the northeast who are having a rough time of it these days.
I know. They're like, I was listening to the weather this morning, and they said, we were just wishing it would go back to normal, and it's going to be a while before they get that way.
Yeah, the way it's looking, I think they're looking at reestablishing a new normal, because I don't think the old normal is going to be where it is. There are rivers that I fished and guided up there for 20 years that they're now hundreds of yards in some cases from where they used to be, where the water came back, because they've cut new channels, moved rocks the size of houses, undercut roads, and it ain't what it used to be. So I'm looking forward to them being able to take a breath and, have their eyes hurt from that big bright thing in the sky again.
Right. I'm one of those people that it was nice being an aviator in my previous life, because when the weather was gray and gloomy and all, you know, you get in that airplane and get up above the clouds, you can see the sun, and it always made me feel better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, I just don't do well in the gloomy weather. I would have made a terrible Brit.
or don't live in the Northwest.
Yeah, right? Okay, I think that this unknown person that's on the roost here is the Bad Backcast. Is that you, sir?
Yep, you got me.
Okay. And
how do
somebody
I sound
just,
via Skype?
Via Skype? Sounds
that's
okay
right,
to me.
I'm dialed in via Skype.
Yeah, and somebody just clicked on my chat room and kicked me out.
Not me.
So I think it was
not
Spiker.
Me. I promise. I'm,
yeah,
I'm,
that's me.
You got to click the chat as co-host me. Box, man.
Okay, I figured.
Uh-oh.
That's all right. I'll get back in.
Let me just run away.
No, just stay there because...
I already told it.
Oh, you already did it? Okay, hang on. We'll get back to it. Rob, how are you, man?
California.
Good, sir. I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. And like I said, I'm enjoying the cooler weather. And we kind of bombed out last weekend. I was you know, gonna pursue the Panama City Beach weekend with the clone, and we were headed that way, and we got down almost to Columbus, and the weather was just, it was raining and stuff, and so
yeah.
I had until 4 o'clock on Friday to cancel the hotel room without losing any money. So about that time I saw a post on Facebook from Captain Linda Cavett down there, and she had canceled the Saturday morning fishing thing because they were forecasting like, you know, 4 to 6 feet and 30 knots of wind. And Saturday morning when I got up and looked at the Weather Channel, it was they were under the red colored clouds there on the radar. So
you could be, it could just be that you could be pretending you were Isaac.
Yeah. It's just the stinking Northwest, man. So, yeah, no, I'm not. You know how it is, man, with the clone there. He's still, he's still developing and everything. So I don't do meltdowns real good. I'm not a real big drama person. So, you know, they.
I thought you said you were an aviator.
I am an aviator, man, but I don't deal with drama. I was a backseater. Pilots are the aviator, are the drama queens. So, I was Goose, man, not Maverick.
Oh, that explains the head injury.
Yep, that's right. So, but I live.
The swelling still hasn't gone down.
You're doing well,
right,
brother. Keep up the good work.
That's right, man. Dude, I saw one of those little short buses for sale. I thought we'd get it wrapped in Kayak Fishing Radio logo and take it on the road.
Nice. That would be awesome. I'll go.
You drive it, right? Right, Rob?
Yeah. That's right.
We got a helmet just for you, buddy.
Yeah, man. All right.
I need one.
And here she is.
Hey,
hold on. Ladies and gentlemen, Captain D. Kamansky. I mean...
You know what? I don't know what my name is anymore.
You got a new one?
You didn't see her on the Florida Insider Report this evening?
Yeah.
Have it on the TV
well,
behind me while the show's going on.
That
he put your picture
her?
Up, Dee.
Pardon me?
He put your Captain Rick put your picture up with that big gator trout picture that you have on your profile page.
Yeah, it's not actually Captain Rick Murphy that did it. It's Captain Jim Ross who does the report for our area.
Right,
and
was,
he was
Rick,
all ready to go. And yeah. And he lost connection via phone, and then Rick is trying to read it off, and, you know, he's in a hurry, so he's boom, 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 boom. But,
right, yeah, they've got a pretty...
You know, I think it's pretty hilarious. Maybe people will talk a little bit more because of the Bumble. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, you're going to get all kinds of calls. Is this Captain D. Commander?
I already did.
Captain D. Commander? Yes, it is.
I actually... only got a couple people that go, oh, Dee, I forgot. I need to book with you. So I'm good.
Awesome.
I'm good.
Awesome. Well, and then I think Chuck had talked to Captain Jim, right? And he was saying something about maybe mentioning, you know, Kayak Fishing Radio, because the dude who reported in the panhandle there, man, he gave props to the Panama City Kayak Fishing, Emerald Coast. I mean, he was naming off everybody. Sun Jammers and all of those guys.
Yeah.
So they got lots. I mean, it's good for the sport. I mean, it's really good. I was real happy to see it. But
Right. I was impressed with a few of it, a little bit of it, but you got to remember all those people, all those guys are boat captains, and half of them, if not more, have probably never even kayaked. But I hope they get into the sport, number one. And I think they did explain a little bit better of what it's all about, but I think it could have been done a little bit more in depth, you know.
It's coming along. I mean, you know, what was it? It was about a year ago that they had the kayak special where they showed a commander and a Hobie or something like that they had on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know who the guy was they had on there that was showing, you know, was describing.
He was on the Hobie team, yeah.
But they had a Jackson Coosa in front of him.
Right.
And he's trying to...
I have so many compliments and so many negatives, and I don't like dissing people and stuff,
no.
So it's really hard for me to... You know, I just hate saying certain things. But the first question Rick Murphy asked was, what are the things that you need on a kayak? And the first thing the guy grabbed was his camera.
Oh, wow.
In your point.
I was like,
I mean,
in a giant Pelican case, you know, those cases that are foam,
little pluck foam stuff and everything, yeah.
Yeah, I just about died. I said, wait a minute. What happened to the, he didn't even talk about having a paddle on the kayak. He talked about push bowling.
Lately, I need my shark shield.
Yeah, and a shark shield.
Yeah, and I'm glad they actually had it there, but I think, and I don't know who to contact, but I think they need to really elaborate a little bit more on it, you know. I mean, it was just so quick, and they were playing the same video over and over with the guy in the kayaks and the canoes. And
right. Well, that was Rick
so
Murphy in the
more.
Camouflage canoe.
Right.
Because that was one of his shows. They were back in the glades there poling around, catching fish out of that camouflage canoe. And then
I'm so glad we were out there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And it's a positive thing. I mean, it's all positive because it showed people, oh, yeah, especially the one. Do you see the picture of the guy with the big reef donkey, the big amberjack?
Oh, yeah, was that Peter Hink with the amberjack?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's he's a native endorsed guide, and I've done shows with him, you know, in demo days and stuff over in Vero Beach. And, man, that guy can catch fish when he is offshore. He's another person that I totally wish I could fish with.
Yeah.
And he's such a great guy, you know. I mean, he'll just take you out there, and he'll show you exactly where to go. And, unfortunately, he's so far down, you know, Fort Pierce and whatnot, and or West Palm, that I can't get down there and go offshore. But if anybody ever wants to go in that area, kayak fish, he'll put you on snook out there and all the big ones. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Right. So it's cool. I mean, kayak fishing got on the board, and they were talking about, and actually they showed some pictures of guys. There was a couple of guys on the beach with some real nice smoker kings, and, you know, it wasn't just about, you know, folks in the backwaters and stuff like that. There were guys offshore fishing out of the kayaks and everything. So that was very cool. I applaud them. But, you know, if you really want to say something to them, they do have a Facebook page. It's the Florida Insider Fishing Report on Facebook. And I liked it and went in and, you know, said, cool, Kayak Fishing Radio thinks you guys did a good job, so... Come back and see us. Give us a
call. Nobody will be able to find me. Or for that matter, they mixed up Jason and JD. I'm
yeah.
dying
yeah.
laughing. I'm like, you poor guys. All mixed up, everybody, you know.
Mixed that's them all great. Up, yeah. So.
Yeah, but that's okay. They did good. They did good.
Yeah, they did. So welcome to the show tonight, Dee. Did you have a good weekend?
You mean a good week?
A good week, yeah.
I don't know what's a weekend and what's a week.
Right.
But yeah, I had a great time. I actually haven't been on the water in a couple days, so I am jonesing big time. But I'm going out tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday, and I'll be back on normal track again. So.
Cool. Well, how's the fish in there right now?
I don't know. I haven't been on the water.
But you're not hearing anything? You're supposed to, like, all of you guides are supposed to have, like, you know, like some kind of telepathic ability so that you all know what the fish are doing and everything.
Well, that would be called our fishing log.
Right.
Actually, the log says head out towards Sebastian Inlet because the bull reds are still out there. There's a bunch of rays jumping out of the water, so you know they're still around. The snook are still in the same area from what I'm reading and other people are saying. So I'm going to head out there and see if I can land me a big one.
Cool.
Mhm.
Get a big old, like about a 46-incher?
I would love to.
Yeah.
You know, but the largest by estimate, visual estimate I've seen has only been about 45. I don't think I could get into a 50, but that'd be
yeah. Cool. Yeah, I knew it ruined the clone the first time I took him snook fishing there in Tampa. Went out with that guide over there in the powerboat thing, and we were on a little rock point, and his first snook was a 30-inch snook. And it just freaking hammered a little white bait that we were tossing out there and jumping and carrying on and everything. He's like, man, this is the coolest fish I've ever caught. So, and I know I've eaten, it's been a long time since I've eaten snook, but they're very close relatives to a barramundi. And I put away some barramundi when I was in Australia. And so if you see barra on the menu, it's as good or if not better than its relative, the Florida snook. So, and I know that they're raising them in some ponds down there in Florida now. So, but anyways, I wanted to get, we're about 20 minutes into the show here, and I wanted to do a quick update. So roll a little music here. But the Kayak Angler's Choice Awards, what's the status? Everyone wants to know, I think. And I sent out an email, a group email, big group hug to all of the nominees for Kayak Angler's Choice Award at the end of last week. And I gave the weekend, because it was a holiday weekend, I gave it a little extra time for responses to come in. But out of all the people that were nominated, and I said, and in my email that I sent out, who did we just lose there? Somebody dropped out. Oh, Wheeler dropped out. I sent an email out to them all, and I told them what was up. And for those who are interested in what happened, why we closed the voting, we got hacked. The votes were just coming in at a cyclic rate at, many votes per second. And so I closed the voting to shut the hackers down. And when we looked at it, you know, we went through and we pulled all those mechanical votes out of there and everything. And then I asked the question to all the nominees, well, what do we do? You know, do we open it back up? Because honestly, when I said 60 days of voting, I didn't anticipate there to be over 1,000 votes in the first week. I figured, you know, I was going to be, you know, counting on my hands and toes and being able to keep track of everybody and stuff like that. But after 1,000 votes in 1 week, I realized maybe 60 days was a little too long. So in the email I sent out, I asked everybody, I said, there are two options. We can just go ahead and call it. I'm pulling out the mechanical votes, and we're going to announce the winners on the 15th of September. Or we could do option two, which would be to open the voting back up for 1 week, and which would end on the 15th, and allow only one vote per IP address and see what happens from there. Well, overwhelmingly, negative responses, no responses were taken as close it. And I had just a couple of responses and people who said, let's open it back up. So the voting is ended for the Kayak Angler's Choice Award, and we'll be tallying up all the votes and going through the nominations and seeing who won, and then we're going to start looking towards next year. So that's where we're at with the Kayak Angler's Choice Award, and we'll be announcing the winners of the first Kayak Angler's Choice Award for guide and angler and the boats and all that kind of stuff. And one of the things that I want to do, and I don't know, Dee, Spiker, you guys, tell me what you think, but I'm going to look at the number of, we actually got almost 2,000 individual IPs of people who voted. And first time it went through, you know, what our spread was across, you can look at the IPs and you can see that people from Florida, people from California, they all received votes from all over the country. And so I think that's pretty interesting. I think that maybe, Dee, do you think your sponsors would be interesting in knowing that you were nominated by your peers and that you're, you know, you received votes from all over the country and stuff like that? Is that something that your sponsors would be interested in?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's not only just, you know, kudos to me that they're all out there, but it's to show that people are all over the world thinking of whether it's me or the products that I'm using, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's good marketing for them as well.
So what I plan on doing is doing a little analysis, because I did maintain all of the data in Excel spreadsheets and all. And then I'm going to put together a letter to all of the nominees, you know, whether you were one or not, and send that letter to you so that you can, you know, send it to your sponsors or prospective sponsors or whatever. So everybody who was nominated will get a copy of that letter with the stats that we gathered from the awards voting and nominations. I think that's a positive, right?
Absolutely. Everything is, it helps, you know. It even puts me in a good position with the sponsors. So.
Yeah, right.
I'll go for it.
Any other comments from Buzzard Roost here? Spiker, I know you got something to say, man.
It's all good. You know, I was thinking about what they said before about getting Dee's name wrong and all that stuff. There's no such thing as bad publicity unless you were Fatty Arbuckle. You know, I remember some of the, so first of all, when you get a high profile, there's something, you can submit articles, you can do interviews, and everyone that comes out is going to have something totally wrong in it. You tell somebody that something's yellow and he's going to report it that it was red. But that, just get used to it. No, there's nothing. It's all good publicity. And, you know, we're really at the very beginning of this growing sport, I think. There a lot of things come into different sports, and especially sport fishing, that are trendy or that are glitchy or there to grab the angler in a moment of buying weakness. But everything been more faddish. And that's what all the guys in the industry said to me about kayak fishing, that it's a trend, and it's the first thing that's new to hit sport fishing in 50 or 60 years. So, no, this is all great stuff, and I'm glad to see everybody getting the good exposure and Dee getting calls off it that fast. And it's great. I just saw on Facebook the plug you put up for Dee's photo on the TV show, too. That stuff gets around. The social network thing is blowing my mind. And thank you, Kayak Fishing Radio.
Agreed. Woohoo!
Where's Soupy Sales over there? All our special effects.
Chuck, are you there?
Nobody, everybody's running for somebody 50 or older to find out who Soupy Sales is.
Oh, my God.
I was actually so bad.
That is so funny. Sorry, Spike. That was awesome.
So somebody tell me a fishing story. I got nothing but stinking abalone carcasses on the beach up here. You can't even get near the beach. It smells so bad. The first time in over 3 decades that a red tide has killed the abalone like this.
Oh, my God.
And we don't know what kind of impact it's going to have. There are already scheduled surveys going on in September. We'll find out what kind of impact we might have to, the fish and game might end up changing the take season. We'll see what happens. I've got a belief that red tide only really occurs in water columns, and since those things live down to 35, 45 feet, they can get pretty deep, and the bigger ones, the true brood stocks, are down deep. And this was only a regional thing. It didn't happen all the way up and down the coast. But it is a terrible mess. These things are like big frisbees, 5-6-inch thick pads of meat that are just rotting on the shore right now.
Wow, no kidding. I didn't know that they were that big.
And that's, yeah, abalones are huge. They're a big one is 9 or 10 inches. And or 12 inches. You know, it's rare to see a 1 foot round. But, yeah, it's a very big animal. It's funny, we were just watching the hunting fishing shows on the cable channels earlier, and somebody was doing a cooking show. They had abalone from New Zealand, and they were showing these little, you know, they were bigger. They were the size of a pancake. But, no, the Pacific abalones, they're really big animals, 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds, some of them.
No kidding. I had no idea.
And it's just crazy, this red tide. We get red tide every year. It's very cool. It makes bioluminescence in the water at night when you're paddling and watching the surf. But it does create a neurotoxin in bivalve organisms, animals. So there's a quarantine during the summer on mussels, and when they do testing for the clams and the abalone. But now, when animals are actually dying, the mussels and the abalone, the shellfish, and they said urchins and starfish are washing up on the beach too. So this is really a natural epic disaster, you know, on the natural cycle.
Our red tide isn't that drastic. I mean, you can't go out, you know, you'd have to put a kerchief on or a buff or something and go out.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've here on the East Coast had it that bad where it's killing off other plant life or fish, you know?
Yeah, no, we haven't seen it this bad either, not in anyone's memory anyway. It's not recorded that there's been this bad a red tide, and it's totally a natural thing. We've also got an issue. The brown pelican is completely protected here. It got on the endangered list many years ago, and while we see a lot of them, it remains there. Well, a bunch of them, about 10 or 12 of them, have turned up dead or injured on the beaches lately around Central and Northern California. And, of course, they sent them to the lab and had them inspected and did some forensic science, and it turns out they're being attacked by sea lions.
Oh.
So the bait, sardines, mackerel, and anchovy, is pushing up real close to the coast, and the birds are diving in where the sea lions are feeding, and they say it's a natural phenomenon. They've seen it for years, but they've never seen so much of it. That's California Report.
Wow.
Well, I think I'm going to go watch some football now.
See, you get any red tide over there in the past couple of years?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get red tide every year. But
yeah, it's pretty much
like
an annual thing.
No kidding.
Yeah, it lasts probably, you know, 4 or 5 days for us, because I'm right on the ocean, you know, so I'm breathing that right in right away. And you know, they'll give you warnings and stuff on the news that you shouldn't be going out. If you go out, put the mask on and all that kind of thing. And my area is really a heavily infiltrated, I'm going to say, with all the older retired people. And so when they go out, I mean, they've got, every so often you'll see the ambulances and whatnot trying to help these people breathe. I mean, it can get that bad. But I've never heard of the wildlife being affected like that. Maybe I should be reading up a little bit more to see what impact that has.
What causes the problem with boaters? Is it the smell or?
Well, yeah, you can't breathe that in.
They do have, yeah, it's not, so, well, I don't know if, is it, D, is it like dead fish or is it the dead fish smell that makes you sick or
it's the actual red tide giving off gases.
Right.
Huh.
That's what I thought.
Even to the point where you can see the difference in the thickness of the air when you're driving. It almost looks like a fog, but it's got a different color to it, too. You have to remember when the ocean is rolling, it's kicking up, obviously, moisture. And salt water is going to be thicker than regular water. So it's going to have that foggy, hazy look to it. And then with the red tide added to it, ironically, I think, in my opinion, it has a little bit of a different color differentiation where it might even be like a pinker kind of color. I don't know. But you can gag on it. You can't breathe. They say children and whatnot should stay inside who have asthma problems, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's a bad, bad health risk out here. But again, I haven't gone to see what the environment has, how it affected the environment around me, other than, you know, the reports. So, yeah.
This is the first we had an algae bloom in the bay here the last couple of weeks, and it hasn't been, you know, terrible or devastating or anything. Anytime we get it, it's bad, but. We haven't had, that's the first one in like 2 or 3 years that we've had actually anywhere around us in this county, because they put a fertilizer ban in place. I don't know if you guys got that over there or not, but a couple of years ago they put that fertilizer ban in place. You can only buy fertilizer a certain amount, or you know, a certain amount of fertilizer at a time when they do sell it, and only certain times of the year. Otherwise, it's illegal. You can get cited for it, but and it's prevented it, man. You know, because when we would get it over here, it was terrible. To the extent it would be like all up and down the coast and in the bay. And they said in the 70s that they had a really bad outbreak that stretched from the Skyway Bridge to Safety Harbor, which is an unbelievable. I mean, that's like the entire Tampa Bay body of water. So it's pretty nasty, man. I know about that.
Now, are you asking me if we have that on our side over here?
Yeah, I was just curious if you got it over there or not. I didn't know if you did or not.
We actually do have a fertilizer. It's not a fertilizer ban, but, yeah, it's the same thing. It's like a certain type of fertilizer you're allowed to use. And a certain amount, so that if it has rainfall or if you're watering, it doesn't go into our Indian River Lagoon system. And I'm sure it goes all the way up to other areas as well. But, yeah, we have the same thing, so it doesn't kill off any of our seagrass, because that's our main problem with the fertilizer. And causing there is some kind of a growth that it creates, but I can't remember what the name of that is. But yeah, we do have that same ban.
Hmm. And it doesn't prevent
it,
or
years.
Wow.
I can't say it does or doesn't, because I don't do any of the monitoring or anything. But I will tell you, when they open up any of the, like, the St. John's River from an overflow or whatever, and they dump all that stuff into the Indian River Lagoon system, you know it. And your water changes color, it smells different, and I'm assuming that's because of all that rainfall and fertilizer from the actual mainland of Florida dumping out all in one big, concentration and causing some issues with that system. And then when the wind blows, of course, it carries it everywhere else. Thank God for inlets, I guess. I don't know what to say about that, but that's one of the reasons why I like fishing the Sebastian Inlet area, because it always has two times a day you have the tide change, so it's a lot cleaner water. Or Mosquito Lagoon, for that matter. It seems a lot cleaner because you don't have...
I know the south end of the lagoon stunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know if that was from that, man. That was more from decomposing, seagrass and stuff, man. That was
I thought it was like the burritos you had the night before.
Oh, God. That didn't help keep those mosquitoes away, did it, Rob?
We were at Nicky Cross.
But you have to remember the Mosquito Lagoon doesn't actually have any influx of water coming through it. So it's going to be a little bit more stagnant back in that south end. And there's a lot of those culverts and whatnot that are going through there and whatnot. So you have all the mangroves that are dumping a lot of the tannins in the water, and then you've got non-water flow, dead grass, and God knows what else is back in there. But when you get up towards the middle, like when you caught that giant redfish, Chip, it was clean water. You got to see almost all the fish.
You're going live. All right. Juan Verut from Kayak Fishing PA has joined us.
All right.
Juan, can you hear us?
Hey, Juan.
He went back. There
you
go. You
guys hear me?
We can hear you now, man.
All right, great.
Are you calling, with a live report from the banks of the swollen Susquehanna River?
I'm probably about an hour from the Susquehanna, but there's a very good chance it's probably going to reach me sometime within the next day or two if it keeps raining here, that's for sure. It's pretty bad.
So what's the forecast is not good. It's going to keep raining?
Yeah. If you look at the river gauges, they're still predicting that the levels are going to keep climbing. There's definitely a lot going on closer to the Susquehanna. So there won't be any fishing this weekend, at least on the Susquehanna, that's for sure. Maybe not for a few days, at least.
But when it does calm down and you get back out there, there'll be some monster smallies out there waiting for you.
Yeah. It's going to be great. I mean, we'll probably be right into the fall bite, so it's definitely going to be, right into the thick of the fall bite once the water levels come down.
And there'll be all kinds of new snags there and cutouts under the banks and everything for you.
Yep, you got it. A whole new river.
So all your fishing logs are worthless now.
I wouldn't say that.
I know.
Go to that extreme now.
Oh, in the Pensacola area, because it's all just sand bottom. I mean, you go out of Pensacola Bay and you head due south, and you got to run like 60 miles to get in 180 feet of water. And if you got your bottom machine going the whole time, unless you run over something that's man-made, put down there in the sand, it's just beach, man. If they drained the Gulf of Mexico, it'd be the world's largest beach. It'd just be nothing but sand out there.
That's one of the things about the Susquehanna River near Harrisburg. I mean, it's a lot of ledge rock.
Uh-huh.
It's almost all, just ledge rock and, ridges that the river ran through. And so it really doesn't change much from year to year. Even when we get this high water, it doesn't change it a lot.
Yeah, we'd get a big blow in Pensacola and all of the reefs would move, Your numbers would move by, 50 to 100 yards and all this kind of stuff. You'd have to go back out and do circles in the water for days trying to find all your spots. But
yeah, I don't know how you saltwater guys do that. I've actually stood on the beach back in Hatteras when the lighthouse was closer to the water before they moved it back off the off the beach there. You could literally sit there and watch from the top of the lighthouse, watch some of those sandbars actually literally moving down the beach.
Yeah, it's all alive, man.
Sorry. I was dropping the phone. I did a flippy floppy. Sorry.
A flippy floppy? I'm very surprised we got
fumble.
A fumble. No fumbles. Is the football game on yet,
Dee? I was moving beer. I'm sorry?
Is the football game on
what?
Yet?
Almost. I'm actually loading beer for tomorrow.
Sweet. So, pro or college, Dee? Do you watch pro football or college football?
Pro. Yeah, and it's special night because it's Packers, and Brian's all the Packer man. He's, you know,
he's the Packer man, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right.
So, yeah, wings are ready to beep. I got to get going. He's making some calamari. Wish it was fresh.
Yeah. All right, so
but,
you're going to...
I love you all, guys, I and girls, if there's any girls on there, I got to go, and I'll give you a report next Thursday.
Thank you, Captain D. Kamansker.
Yeah, really, right?
Kaminowicz. Okay, that's right.
I thought it was Kamaschik.
Kamaschik, oh. That's it. All right, thank you, yeah. Captain
thank
D.
you.
Kamansker.
Well, I taped it, so I'll find out. All right, love you guys. Bye.
All right, good night, D.
Bye.
That was Captain D. Kaminsky from RealKayakFishing.com. So we were making fun of her, Juan, because they did a spot on her on the Florida Insider Fishing Report tonight, and they really messed up her name. So
I can't imagine that.
No. But she had already got like two or three calls from people wanting to book fishing trips with her because it reminded him, oh yeah, I got to call D and get on her calendar. So, but if you guys haven't fished in the Sebastian or the Mosquito Lagoon area, D Kaminsky and Redfish Chuck are hosts of the Monday night kayak fishing radio edition. The week kickoff show, you need to get down there and fish with those guys. It's reasonable. Easy to do. There's lots of places to go down there, and the Mosquito Lagoon is one of those places that if you've never fished before, it's a totally new experience for you. So, but anyways, we have a great turnout here tonight. I want to say hi to the folks that are in the chat room. I think it's D.D. Olson, another one from the Chucktown area. A few guests in there. Guests, if you wanted to play along the next time, make sure you register and sign in, and then you can jump in there and put your thoughts and ideas and questions up on the page. Or anyone is welcome to call in at 714-816-4727. You can Skype in. You can call in on your phone, any phone. We also have Greg Crisp, the Hammerhead, up in New Hampshire there. Bill Haywood is in the house, in the chat room. Say hi to him. Hope he gets feeling better and get back out on the water. Take some more great pictures. He did take my picture and made me look really good. So
he does have off camera, man. It is great.
He does, man. And Scuba Stan there.
He's got an amazing eye.
He does have a real good eye for color, for light and everything. I mean, it's like it's pretty fun to go fishing with Bill. So that's another experience that if you haven't had a chance to, you have to go fishing with Bill. He is a world-renowned photographer and blogger, also from well-known in the Australian outback there. So, Rob, are you still there?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Scuba Stan was asking where you're planning on flying into.
That's yet to be determined yet, but I will let you know.
Okay, because he said he would pick you up, and it looks like DD is located at the airport there too.
Yeah, I'm not flying into Chucktown.
Oh, okay.
I know that much.
All right.
But it's yet to be determined, and I will let you know.
Cool. Because that's an announcement that I want to make. If you're in the area, if it's a short drive, anything less than 12 hours is a short drive, right? You should make your way to Charleston, South Carolina, on Columbus Day weekend. That would be October 7th through the 10th. Some of our broadcast hosts, Rob Abadbackcast DeVore, also a well-known blogger and radio host, and myself, the clone. My wife is actually going to show up. So the unknown lady of Kayak Fishing Radio. And let's see. Who else somebody else just dropped out. Oh, Becker just dropped out. 20-hour drive for Hammerhead, he says. Make your way on up to Chucktown and join us for the Chucktown Boondoggle. It's one of our we're trying to make it a quarterly event that we would pick a spot somewhere and just go fish. Hopefully we can draw some folks like some quality anglers, folks like Juan here joining us tonight from Kayakfish PA, Rob Choi, maybe Mark Lozier or some of those guys from the East Coast there. Wheeler was on with us a little bit earlier from our Wednesday night show. So some of those guys along the coast would show up and you get a chance to fish with them. So if you listen to the podcast, you listen to Kayak Fishing Radio, doesn't matter. You know, we're on every night of the week now except Saturday and Sunday and twice on Tuesdays. But you get a chance to come out. Not that we're great fishermen or anything, but we tell funny stories and we look funny sometimes too. So the Chucktown Boondoggle, Columbus Day weekend. Dino, you're going to be doing Coast Fest that weekend, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll be down at Brunswick at Jekyll Island at the Georgia DNR.
Which is also a very good weekend for fishing there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Forehead should be rolling in.
Right.
Yep.
So hopefully it'll be that way all up and down the coast, and it'll just be an amazing weekend of fishing on the East Coast.
Yep.
I think Spiker sometime next year, you have to give us a good time of the year to show up in Cali, man, to do a boondoggle out in California.
We can do that.
Get all of us rednecks out there tangled up in the kelp beds and everything.
It would be a fun time. Tie y'all up to the kelp beds, fishing vertically, pulling hard. Throw a little neoprene on you, send you down for your three abalones.
Yeah.
You know, we just had crab cakes for dinner tonight before we sent Michelle off to the saloon.
Yeah.
And I love saying that. And they were frozen 6 months, I'd say. It was the trash crab, the rock crab. Everybody's fishing for Dungeness. But every once in a while, one of them walks in with a set of claws the size of boxing gloves. So I'd steam them up with the Dungeness, take those crabs off, put them into a bag. And I pulled a bag out, shelled the meat yesterday, made four little crab cakes today, and it was just sensational. We got the crabs starting again. November the 1st.
They have a lotion for that.
They. I like that. I have the crabs. It's funny, there's a tackle shop in Malibu, Wiley's, who for 50 years they've sold a shirt, "I got my crabs at Wiley's."
Yeah, right? Okay.
But hey, is anybody crabbing over like Chesapeake Bay? We lose that report?
Yeah, I think we lost Wheeler's out.
That's
the
question I have for yet another time. What about Florida? I know there was a big commercial crab fishery there till they outlawed most of it.
I used to take out pots and put them down for stone crab.
Stone crab.
But those are big, heavy pots, man. You put them out in the rocky areas and stuff, and they're loaded down with concrete. Each one of those things weighs like 40 pounds, so you can only get one on your kayak.
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
Yeah, you couldn't do that.
And how, is it just big tidal surge? Is that why the lightweight pots won't work?
No, crab? I think it's just because of the I don't know why they've all these stone crab pots are just these, like, they're like plastic milk crates with 25, 30 pounds of concrete in the base of them.
Yeah, I'll bring my gear out. We'll see how we do.
Yeah. Well, and you can't, there's real limitations in Florida as far as, like, you know, even a shrimp crap trap or
right, that I know.
You know, I mean, they're really big limitations. Now Georgia is actually pretty lenient as far as, I mean, you can throw a cast net for shrimp here in Georgia. And that's pretty cool because you can, in a good spot, man, you can take your limit.
I love that kind of fishing. That's kayak fishing.
Yeah, yeah. So,
I tell you.
But, so, anyways, let's take it around the horn and we'll get off here so folks can go watch the opener of the National Football League. And we'll look forward to Spiker on the Friday night show.
Thanks for having me on board. We'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific.
All right, Spiker. He's our newest broadcast host, newest member of the Kayak Fishing Radio team. And if you want to see Spiker and see what he does and what he's done in the past, he has his own site, kayakfishing.com. Just leave the radio part out. It's pretty easy, huh? Dino, what do you got in the works for the weekend, man?
Hopefully I get to fish this weekend. Hopefully.
Hopefully you'll get to fish this weekend?
Hopefully.
That'd be
maybe
cool.
I won't have to drive 1,000 miles to Cincinnati and back in 2 days. But
what's the word up on the lake there, man? Striper's doing anything yet?
I haven't heard.
Yeah.
Of course, I ain't been on the water so long. I about forgot what it's like. You know, between work and doing personal things, you know, it's hard to break loose.
Right. Yeah.
So,
we've been busy too. So. But yeah. All right. Well, I hope you get out on the water, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right. Yeah. We'll look forward to hearing from you next week. See if you did.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Robster?
Yes, sir.
How about you, man? What's your game plan for the weekend?
Going Saturday morning, uber early. One of my buddies from Apollo Beach is coming over, and we're gonna go out over here. It's like low tide at 5:30, so we're planning on being out about 6. So it should be incoming for first light, and water temp has cooled down a little bit. Weather's cooled down a little bit, so we're hoping. And I know a couple of nice spots around here, and hopefully we can catch some fish.
Cool. Sounds like a plan, man. Catch that incoming tide.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. And you're getting stoked for Chucktown, right?
Oh, man. I'm telling you.
We're inside of 30 days. We're double-digit midgets now.
I'm definitely I'm psyched about it, man. And it's going to be fun. You know me. I'm always excited about all the boondoggles and everything.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing everybody and hanging out and getting some fishing in and stuff. So it'll be a good time.
That's a cool thing. And I think we're going to need to boondoggle up to see Juan 1 year, too.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful up there.
Go into the PA there.
There you go.
So, Juan, what's your
smallmouth?
Yeah, you know, I've never caught a smallmouth, man.
Oh, and you haven't lived until you caught a smallmouth.
And I'm going to save that experience to share it with you, man. I'm going to come up and see you, man, and we're going to – I think we've got a trip planned later on, or maybe late spring. That will be
anytime,
up in that area.
Not within the next week.
Not within the next week, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to fish around the houses and the bridges and the
right,
you know, on the road.
That little kid swing set in the back is some good structure, you know? I mean, so
there you go.
So what's your game plan, man? How are you going to handle the weather and stuff? Are you fishing any or what?
Yeah, I've been looking at the river gauges in Pennsylvania, and almost everything within probably couple hours of me is pretty high. So there's one river that seems to be dropping pretty fast. It's a smaller river. So I might be able to get on that by this weekend, tomorrow or maybe Sunday. But probably I might have to try something new and go after some greenfish if that doesn't work out. So it's either going to be a 3-hour drive to a river that's you know, runnable, or it's going to be fishing a lake for some largemouth. I might try that. I don't think I've been largemouth fishing but 2 or 3 times this year. So I think that might be on the docket. Maybe get my gear together, organized, You know, as you go through the guiding season, you know, things tend to get, you know, a little disheveled here and there. So I'll probably go through all my gear, get that all tidied up, and get ready to go. I'm doing a cold water class in November, so I'll likely work on some of the material for that class too.
And I got to say, man, I follow, you know, I watch everybody's stuff and their sites and all that, and the stuff that you guys got going up there in, you know, Susquehanna area, the Midwestern area there, things that you're doing and Oost and them, you guys are doing a really nice job up there, man. Really holding up your end of, you know, kayak fishing from that side of the house, man.
Well, it's not too hard because there are not too many things that I'd really want to do with my time besides fish out of my kayak. So,
that's it,
you know,
right?
It's not like it's like a labor of love, right? It's not like it's that difficult, you know.
Yeah.
All I got to do is say, hey, you guys want to go kayak fishing? And everybody's like, yeah, sure, we'll go. You know,
sure,
so
let's go.
It's not yet. Everybody's – and we have some great fishing. I mean, it's – you know, I always say we're lucky here in Pennsylvania in the Northeast because you can't drive – you know, half an hour or an hour and not hit some fabulous, you know, fishing. So we're pretty lucky in that way. I mean, I've got the Juniata River within an hour of me and the Susquehanna, certain sections of the Susquehanna in about an hour, west branch of the Susquehanna. So, you know, we've got some prime, you know, river, prime smallmouth river. It's pretty close.
Very cool, man. We're doing a good job. Keep it up, man. It's good to have you on board, man, now that everything seems like it's working, man. You'll have to call in more often.
Yeah, I definitely will. I definitely will. I had to get it into my schedule. You know?
Yeah, there you go. But make sure you get into Wednesday's schedule, man, and give Wheeler a hard time. He thinks he knows what he's doing up there in mid-Atlantic states and everything.
I'm going to have to do that. I like giving you a hard time.
I appreciate it, man. You know, if people don't bother me, then I don't think they like me. You know, that's the kind of thing it is.
There you go. There you go.
Well, thanks for joining us tonight, man. Appreciate it.
No problem.
All right.
I'll call in the early time. All right, bud.
All right. Good night, man. That's about it for tonight. It's been a Thursday night. It sure was. And we had a great lineup of folks here in the house and in the chat room. We got Scuba Stan there. He was bowing out. Good night, everybody. Good night. And he's still in there listening, man. So, I just saw Didi. I did your friend request there, man. Your first time here on the show, so welcome aboard. And Stan, I'm totally jonesing for some fishing over in your house, man. So let's work it out. Let me know how that goes tomorrow when you talk to the locals there, and we're gonna do it up right. I think we're gonna get in trouble. Rob, you think we're gonna get in trouble in Chucktown?
What kind of trouble are you talking about?
I don't know, but I'm bringing my Harley, man.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we're bringing the Harleys. It's the super. I'm loading up the super kayak fishing radio Harley Davidson trailer, man. It's like kayaks on top of Harleys behind the Jeepster. So
nice.
So we're gonna throw it on. Now you say you got a ride for the weekend. You're bringing, or you got somebody
yeah,
gonna?
Good.
You're good. Okay,
yep.
So. If I don't need to load up the big yellow barge, I won't do it. So,
no, you're safe.
Okay.
I should have a little plastic boat to fly around in.
Okay. Who is? You know, there she is. Kayla, did you just call in to say goodnight?
Yes.
Huh?
Yep.
You were in there earlier.
Yep.
I was just getting ready to say good evening to you, and you hung up on me.
You know what happened?
What?
I freaking got pulled over. And I hung up the phone, so I didn't get in trouble for that, too.
Then when he walked up to the window, he said, "What's the hassle, man?"
I just smiled, and he said, "I pulled you over because you didn't make that light back there." And I said, "Yeah." I know.
Kayla.
Yeah.
Be safe. We
don't
want
to. Did you get a ticket?
Yellow. No.
You didn't get a ticket?
Mm-mm. But he gave me some kind of, like, he said, he came back and I didn't have all my stuff. Like, I couldn't find it. And I mean, when you get pulled over, that's what happens. And I had no idea what it was he wanted. And then he came back and said, okay, what I did was write you up this, like, warning thing saying I need to fix something. And then wrote his phone number and his schedule on the back of the ticket thing. So I'll get this fixed within the next 3 weeks and call him on a day that he's working so I can take it back to him and he'll take it away. But he saved me $150 and a something on my license.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was nice of him.
Mm-hmm.
So when you reach into the glove box to look for your registration and all that, were you like pulling out gold bait and stuff like that and throwing it out on the seat?
Absolutely.
No?
And I've got bass fishing like written on the back of my vehicle.
Cool.
Yeah.
Did you hand him like, you know, a big 8-inch Rapala lure? Here, hold this.
Well,
let me see if I can find
it. It's all over my vehicle, and that's what I was thinking. He's going to freaking think I'm a nut. Like, I've got these, like, 3-inch hooks in my window seal.
Do you have, like, you have a piercing or something with a hook coming through your ear or something like that?
No, but
you have fish tattoos? Kayla, do you have a fish tattoo?
I do.
Does Chuck know that?
I don't know.
It's going to be on Facebook tonight, I guarantee you.
That I have a fish tattoo?
Yeah. I'm going to message Chuck right after I go off the air.
So Chuck will put it on Facebook? Really?
I'm going to say it's going to be Chip to Chuck. Did you know Kayla has a fish tattoo? You heard it here on Kayak Fishing Radio. Kayla, are you going to join us in Chucktown for the boondoggle?
Sure I am.
All right. Did you call the KOA and get you a place to stay?
What's the KOA?
The campground.
Oh.
If it was Hawaii, it would be the Halikoa, but it's not a campground. So, but Greg said you got pink stuff in your hair now.
Yeah, you like it?
I don't know. It doesn't
it
seem
helps
like
the fish. Like,
it does.
Seriously, trout freaking love it. Yeah. No kidding.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Kayla. Yeah. We were just wrapping it up. I'm glad you called in so you could say goodnight.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
All right. No worries. I'm glad to hear from you. I'm glad you didn't get a ticket.
I had to at least call back in and tell you, like,
your adventure. It was a great adventure.
Yeah, absolutely. It always is.
Always
my daughter was in the back seat, and I said, and that's what happens when you're on red lights. And then she got out of the car and told my mom that her mom just got pulled over for running red lights.
And you're the Berenstain Bear Mom.
Yep. High five, Madison.
All right, then. I'm going to call it an evening. I got to get out of here.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. You too now. Thanks, Juan. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for joining me, guys. And we'll see you next week. Join us tomorrow night, Kayak Fishing Radio, Spike, Fishing with Spike. So we'll see you next time.
Have a good one.
Yeah.
See you guys later.
Good night.
Bye.
This is a Bad Cast Radio.